Because the shepherd goes first. And he's up there looking down, watching the sheep come up, following him. That's good, isn't it? I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 14, the second message of this one. Got one more at least next week. Next week's going to be the one I like the most. You might not, but I will. from the shepherd's point of view, I guess. I want to talk this morning again about how the Lord works. And like I said, this scripture, this chapter, the pattern that God showed me later on in preaching that I had followed all along, not long ago. In fact, this last week I was talking to my brother. He's quit chemo. It wasn't cancer. It was just a scar, what they found. So he's good. And he got so sick of the chemo, they quit doing it. But now he's getting better. So appreciate you praying. And I said to him, sometimes you think you're falling apart, but it's really we're falling together. That's the message. Is there's some people falling apart and some God's putting together. And things fall together, don't they? And it depends on who you are, at what time in your life that these things happen. Most everybody would probably honestly say, I've had both of those. Stayed in one longer than I wanted to. But there's people that we know really well that we'll have the most trouble with. When we choose to serve the Lord and try to get going, there's some folks that won't let our past be gone. They know what buttons to push. And we do love them and we want to win them, but sometimes we need to get away from them and remove ourselves from some kind of closeness in order for God to do His work. In the scriptures last week, just a little review, everybody was under a tree with King Saul, the military. They were afraid of the Philistines that was over on the other hill. They refused to fight. They were satisfied with staying where they were. But Jonathan and his armor bearer left. The family, the church, whatever that represents to you, and ventured out away from them to destroy the enemy in order to help those out that was over here. That was kind of the basics of the lesson last week. And folks are too hard on themselves, because when we have folks trying to make us fall apart, and that's the only place it would ever happen, I go to somebody else's house, I go to somebody else's church, or whatever my problem is, wherever it is. When I go somewhere else, things are fine. It's just this one place. Okay, don't fight it. It'll ruin you. God's doing a work in you, and that will hinder your growth. In fact, it'll get the devil telling you that you're no count. You're no good. You might as well stay where you're at. That's the wrong motivation. Don't fall apart. I want you to see today that God's letting things fall together. And when you understand that and put them together, you're going to be able to conquer a whole lot of things that you didn't think you could ever conquer in your life. I'll ask you if you would to bow your heads before we start. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for all those that are here. Lord, we thank you so much that even Jesus taught us that even he didn't have any honor in his own house, in his own country. That as great and godly as you are, Jesus, you teach us that that's going to happen probably in our lives too. And there's nothing to be ashamed of except staying in it and not getting out to try to help it. Lord, bless your word. Bless our hearts as we hear. And we pray your will would be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go back to verse 15 and we'll go to verse 23 today. And I'm not sure. I've only meant to preach one or two of the last series and I've lost count. Even did one on Wednesday night. But as far as I know, one more. And it's the one, like I said, I like. It's where the honey drops. Some of y'all be reading ahead. I know that's okay. Try to be here next week and we'll talk about that. Verse 15. And there was a trembling in the host in the field and among all the people, the garrison, the spoilers, they also trembled and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. Now in this verse, Jonathan and his armor bearer went away from Saul and the armies of Israel and went out and went through very many difficult battles to get to the enemy. They made it to the enemy. They fought the 20 that they could see, and they defeated them. While they were fighting, we just read it again that the earthquake, God sent an earthquake. And everybody there trembled. Now, this first verse in the message today is away from Israel. They don't know about it yet. They don't even know what's going on yet. They will hear in just a little bit. But in the Bible, in Ephesians especially, the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and all those. We're the Lord's armor bearer. And He fights, and we fight with Him to defeat everything. Same exact thing going on in 1 Samuel 14. Jonathan represents Jesus Christ, and we're the armor bearer. Together, we go through all odds and get to the enemy and scale the hill and destroy and conquer the enemy. And that's the same thing that we have to do. You need to make up your mind. Don't put yourself down. Let somebody else, and they will, try to belittle you and make fun of us and things like that. I could go to camp in the summer times when I was a kid and get all fired up, get excited, and mama would blow it away in one little... First time I did something, she knew I was going to do it, waiting for me to do it. Well, I don't guess that really lasted very long, did it? You know, or something like that. Just blew my whole life away. You don't need to let that happen to you. There's going to be people in your life that you'll never, ever, ever get together with. There'll always be somebody that knows your past, always somebody that knows you. And they're going to pick and pick and pick and pick, and you're going to feel so down that you won't do anything for the Lord. But when you have your armor and you're going away from that, going to the Lord. In this particular case, the armor bearer and Jonathan was leaving their own people because their people had a problem. They were defeated, feared, judged. Everything was in them that wasn't right. And Jesus, or Jonathan, didn't stay there and work and try to fix that. We can't stay where we're demonized and put down and think that our goal in this world is to try to win them. Because we won't do anything else and we'll never win. We need to get out and go with Jesus, our armor bearer. And Jesus in this story, or Jonathan is our example, he didn't try to fix them. He tried to conquer this so they could come join and fix themselves, because they had to overcome a lot of things. So in the very first verse, we want to talk about the other guy or the other people. We focus on us. We focus on our disabilities, our problems. And we don't forget that God's working on the other side. And if the other side is the enemy and the other side is against me and against the Lord, if they don't change, they're going down, aren't they? We're going to fall together things in our life to be stronger and more obedient. Those people on the other side, the other guy, the enemy, they're going to fall apart. And in this particular case, the first point this morning is neither one sees what happens to the other one. People can see me fall apart. They can see me fall together with God's help. But the process that goes on inside our hearts and our minds that nobody sees. The children of Israel hadn't at this time knew anything about this battle. There was a great battle that went on, wasn't there? Two men, Jonathan and the armor bearer, went over there and did the almost impossible, miraculous thing to get to them. And then they destroyed them. God sent an earthquake. And they all beat each other down. They destroyed each other. They fell apart. And nobody saw it. There's other guys. There's the other side. There's my enemy. That if we'll step back and watch them, and if we don't step into their little arena or into their ring that they pull us in, and we step back and we watch them, we're going to see them fall apart. They've got an edge on me. I'm easy prey, so they don't need hardly anybody else to mess with. If I step away, that's just like at work. I worked at Nissan for 28 years. It was so easy for some guys how to push their buttons, how to aggravate them. And sometimes I was accused of being an instigator. I know you can't imagine that. You just couldn't even think about that, could you? I mean, y'all said that too. Where's your daddy? You know, and so, what do you mean? Who are you talking? You know, and they get all mad and everything. And you just got one little thing you can say to some people, but they can do it back to me too. I had some guys that I would look way down the line and I go, this first 2 hours is going to be unbearable because he's not even going to do anything. And I got to do his and mine. And no one's going to say nothing. It's just, you know what I mean? But in this particular case, the Philistines were the enemy. They were the other guy. And God was going to destroy them. Physically and in public. But before he gets to there, he has to begin a work, doesn't he? Before the devil can overcome me, he starts little, doesn't he? And if I work little with the Lord and knock it out little, he won't ever get any far. First thing to do is leave and get away from whatever it is. The easiest way. Because we might not be able right now to stand up to it. And really, we shouldn't ever stand up to it without the Lord. And he's not going to stand up to it because he's the one that's taking care of them. The other guy, the other side. God always works when we don't see him with our enemies, with people that would tear us down, with opportunities that we should never go. God will keep us away from him and from them if we'll walk with him and look to his power. Well, nobody knew. God did a work. Verse 16, and the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. A watchman on the edge of Israel looking over to where the Philistines' camp was. There was no doubt that God didn't want them to miss this. He wanted to make sure in public for everybody to see that the Israelites could see what happens to their enemies. And it happened, an earthquake. It was such a loud, shaking earthquake that the watchman had to look on purpose to see what was going on. And when he looked over on the other side, he saw the Philistines. The multitude melted away in fear, and they went to beating each other down. They were killing and destroying each other. Our enemies today, if we'll let them fall apart, they will. They need us to keep going. One side in the political world today needs the other side. And one side will eat their own side, so they really don't need another side. That's the way it is in our world, isn't it? And if we'll leave some folks alone, some groups alone, God will see to it that they fall apart. And the good part is we get to see it. Not to have fun or not to have joy, but to realize that they're not the Lord's. And he's going to make sure they don't fall together. Nothing's going to go together. Romans 8:28 does not apply to an evil, wicked person. What is Romans 8:28? For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. Things fall together. They work for our good. But wicked, evil, lost people that have no desire to ever get right with the Lord, that verse is not for them. And it doesn't matter how much they rise up. It doesn't matter how much publicity, how much power, how much money. They're going to fall apart. And in this particular case, on that very day, Israelites didn't even know anything was going on. And the first instance that they knew, they heard an earthquake. And this man, this watchman, looked over and saw what was going on. I mean, this enemy, the Philistines, that had them cornered, had them back, had them went from 30,000 maybe people to 600, sitting under a tree, afraid to go over to do anything, and made sure nobody would go. That same enemy, in an instant, melted down before the watchman's eyes and beat each other down. God's working on the other side, isn't he? And I wish folks could back away long enough. They're in it so much, they don't see it. But people can't keep doing what they're doing without God doing something. You can't keep breaking the conscience that God gives you. And you can always find a group, and you can always find somebody to help you out on your side. It's amazing, isn't it? How there's something for everybody. And we take freedom for granted. And we rub people's noses in things that we know is not right. And they do it to babies. They do it to babies before they're even born in the world that we live in. Do stuff to them after they're born. All kinds of things that we get so angry. And we know God is not for it, is he? But I'm going to tell you this morning that he's working on it. Those lives, those people, those beliefs, the power, it's going to fall apart. And it's going to fall apart in public. Now, there was no way to miss what happened in verse 16. So, verse 17, obviously, he's going to go talk to the king. Then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. Saul found out he had an investigation and then a prayer meeting. He had no idea who, what, how anything happened. He got the news. He believed the news. He numbered everybody. They did have enough people where you just couldn't look around and see who was missing. But they counted everybody. And Jonathan and his armor bearer were the only two that were gone. He called for the priest, the one with the Ark of the Covenant, the place where God says, I'll meet with you. And he was praying. I don't know what he was praying for. Don't know why he was praying, but he was praying. And the noise got so great over on the other side, and it went worse and worse for the Philistines, that Saul said, quit praying. It's time for us to go. Now, the investigation that he had was important, because if you look a chapter or two before this, you'll find out that Jonathan had a bad problem. He did. This wasn't the first time that him and his armor bearer went by themselves over to a garrison of the Philistines and wiped them all out. He did it before. He conquered people for the Lord, and the Lord helped him. And he was rising up in fame because his daddy's the king. His daddy's the head of the military. And Saul, when he investigated, he found out who it was, and he knew what he was doing. He knew it was him, and he knew why he did it. There was no doubt that Jonathan was the one that was behind it. There was no doubt that Jonathan was used by God to conquer the enemy, and his daddy wasn't. So there was some jealousy there, wasn't there? And Jonathan was over there fighting. His daddy was over here praying. Oh, there's a whole lot of speculation, a whole lot of stuff. I don't know. I don't even want to guess. Except that I know some folks will pray when they're unsafe, but they won't pray to go do God's will. Isn't that right? If he was a praying man and had the right enemy and served the right Lord like he was supposed to, he'd have already defeated that enemy. But he got himself in a mess and got against God and God against him. He laid down and he had some faithful people with him. They refused to go over. But even when the war began and it looked like it was going to be like last time Jonathan was in it, defeated, I guess he was just praying for safety. But it got too much. The Bible says that there was a noise. Verse 19. That the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. That's a good indication right there. The more Jonathan fought, the more they beat each other down, the more Jonathan won, the louder the noises got all the way over across the mountaintop over to where the camp was for the Israelites. When I realize that God wants me to fall together, when he wants me to do right, and I stand up in the way I'm supposed to by this pattern, all I got to do is listen to the other guy. Listen to the enemy. I learned this early in high school, how to listen for the noise. I moved around a lot. I've told you all before. I went to 8 different schools from kindergarten to the end, 12th grade, I guess. Went to 3 different high schools in 2 different states. Went from Ohio to Texas and met a guy that was the famous rodeo guy, the bull rider. He was a boxer, a Golden Gloves boxer, and he got me in the restroom the first week, him and another boy, and they put me up against the wall. And I made friends with him real quick. And it wasn't because I was good at anything. I was scared out of my wits, and I wasn't going to back down because there was nowhere to go. And I fought and fought and fought, and I don't think I won, but I did just enough that he respected me to where we were best friends. That's not how it worked back when y'all were growing up. I mean, somebody bullied us, we were friends next week. We really were. That's the way it used to be, but now it's more devious and it doesn't work that way. But the noise. People talk noise. But the noise I'm talking about is the conviction of God in somebody's heart. That other guy, that enemy, that guy that wants to make me fall apart when God's trying to make me fall together, he's got a whole lot of noise in his heart and in his spirit. And the worse that he gets and the more wicked he gets, the louder the noise gets. You see it on TV, these protesters and all these people that just somehow, some way are overcome with what God's doing right. When the world gets together and gets the morals right and tries to get people to follow what's honest, what's decent, follow the laws that we have, all these different things of enforcement, the noise starts to increase, doesn't it? If there's not enough noise, they're going to make more noise. And you see, the problem that Saul had is the problem that we have. How loud does it have to get before we go do something? The noise is going to get worse and worse and more evil, isn't it? And we can't be afraid if the Lord goes with us. And we'll get it at the end of the message. Well, what exactly are we fighting against? We'll get to that in a minute. But you see, Saul had some of the same noise that was going on over here with the Philistines. I mean, things are so bad. Things are out of control, aren't they? And you've got people that are supposed to be in charge going back and forth going, what do we do? Where do we go? What? You know, they don't have any idea. Pray about it. And go where God leads you. And just like your song, the shepherd, he's there with us. He's in front of us. He's going with us, isn't he? That ought to stop a lot of the understanding and misunderstanding. What exactly is a Christian supposed to fight against? And how do we fight? But Saul, in the scriptures, had numbered the people, investigated. He had a prayer meeting. And then he finally said, withdraw your hand. He didn't have any plans to pray. He didn't even finish, did he? He didn't respect God. He rejected God. God rejected him. But he was still the leader. And after all the noise that he heard, verse 20, and Saul and all the people that were with him assembled together. They came to the battle, And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture, a win, a victory, a conquering. Verse 21, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. There were some people, whether they were deserters or held captive, on the way in the Philistines' camp. It started on the outside, and it went through the camp into the Philistines' area. And there were people there, whether they deserted or whether they were held captive, they were Saul's people. And when the battle came through where they were at, they were free, and they joined in. That was good, wasn't it? They were captive. They were away from Israel. They were away from their families. And as the battle came through, it came through where they were at, and they went with them. Look at verse 22. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim, when they had heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in battle. There were some cowards that hid. And when it got past them, they came out of hiding. And you know what they did? They followed with the army. They were on the right side. Things were falling together, weren't they? Because God was the one in charge. God was the one that led them. The noise got so loud that even Saul, even those people that were captive, even those that were in hiding, heard the noise that was so loud that they decided that it was time to get in the battle. Now, what does this mean? Number one, if there's people that's not in church, and if there's people that even are cowards that won't fight for the Lord, but they're truly saved, as we go out, not stay in here. You get it? As we go out, we're going to run into some people that are going to have to make a decision. Are you going to come now? Is heard enough noise? Now the noise has got to us, and there is somebody going to do something about it. Will you join? I could understand if nobody ever, they're not asking them to start it. They're not asking them to take it for everybody else. They're asking them to join in what God's already put together, that's pulling together to be a part of what God's making as one. At least there's some folks when we go moving out of this church house in prayer and everything God has for us. There's going to be some. They're going to say, hey, it's time. Whatever problem they had in church, whatever stops them from coming, as bad as it is, how bad it would be to have them pass you by and you know there's a noise that's good in your favor and you still don't go. No, they went, didn't they? Could you imagine how bad they would be if they had another chance and there was a victory happening and the army was coming by them and they just said, well, that's bad, isn't it? God doesn't look at our past. This is revival. And when God sends a revival, we don't care about what people did. It's let's do now. God's not trying to pull us apart. He's trying to pull us together. And then there are some maybe farther out that were so afraid. People afraid, people captive, people desert. A lot of folks got reasons why they don't come to church. But every one of these folks, as the battle went out where it was supposed to, against the people it was supposed to be against, fell in where they were supposed to be. And God used them. God was putting things together. He wasn't pulling them apart. They weren't falling apart. He was showing them that they were falling together. And that's what revival is. The second thing, and this is, I don't know, this is what I've learned through the years I've pastored. Our mentality of winning people is programs, inside the church. And our mentality is, if we can make the church look so good, so appealing, we got numbers and statistics and offerings. We got all that to prove that our church is really alive and on fire. Folks that are out there can look in and say, hey, I think I'd like to try to go there. But the church that does that has compromised. There's not much Bible. There's about anything we need to do to get a crowd, we'll do that. Lower our standards, things like that, huh? So what would a church do inside to lure somebody in there outside to come in? And what are they saying is a good thing? Well, we've got programs. We help folks that are like this. We help folks that are like this. We do God's work for him. It's God that saves and God that sanctifies, isn't it? And the true scriptures that we're reading is just the opposite. The church, Saul, and those people there saw what was happening outside. And the noise and the victory got so loud, they said, we better go. That's what gets God's people motivated. And that's how God blesses the church with revival, is that the church is out there so much. Folks get saved in the house. Folks get right in the house. Folks learn about their problems when you go one-on-one and sit down and share the Bible with them. Tweet, email, Facebook. There's all kinds of ways that people reach out to each other outside. And that's the pattern that the Bible teaches us. And there's folks that need to come to church, but they need to understand that they come to church, fellowship, learn, grow, so they can go out and reach folks to come back to where our military grows. The soldiers get more in number. But you see, the problem, and we'll get to it before we close, is God's greatest work is salvation, isn't it? Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those that are lost, right? And those that are lost are the other people. They're the ones that criticize Christians. They're the ones that try to make fun of us. They're the ones that try to back us down. God help you. Because God wants to save you. He really does, doesn't he? And he sent somebody in your life as a Christian that's not perfect, that messes up, that you can use as your example. I've had that all my life, all preaching. And I've told you before, but there was an old man that lived down the road from Malone's Chapel. He said, I can't come to that church because so-and-so go there. And it was a miracle. So-and-so died in the next 2-3 weeks, both of them. And I was so proud. I got to go over to his house and tell him, you can come to church now. He never came. That wasn't his problem, was it? God help the people that try to run us down and stop us from doing his work when it's them that God wants to save. And that other guy, because God's greatest work is salvation, he's going to make you fall apart. Isn't he? You're going to hear a noise and it's deep inside and it won't go away. That noise is going to say, you're the one that's wrong. That's why you try to justify it. That's why you spend your life asking preachers. I get, are you a preacher? I know what's coming. Where does it say in the Bible that I can't do this? Where in your heart does it say that it's right? There's noise, isn't there? There's conviction. And people really, really, really know that they're lost. And they don't realize that God's going to come in order to get them right. He's going to show them what they're like on the inside out. And he's going to let them increase in beating themselves down. At first, nobody knows. But as it goes, it's going to be more known and more open in front of everybody. They start out like a Philistine in a garrison, that there's no way those folks can get to me. But God can penetrate where you're at, can't he? he can get through, send somebody through. And they're going to quieten that noise for you. He's going to make sure these people that are our enemies fall apart in public because he loves them, doesn't he? The second part of God's greatest work is after he saves them, he sanctifies them. That's the hardest operation of surgery that Christians ever have. Some of us, God had to dig a little deeper and cut more off, get more out, didn't he? He did it to me, and he's still doing it to me. And he's always going to do it to me because it's his great work, isn't it? We can't save and we can't sanctify. But God can. The enemy this morning, what is that? Immorality. Perversion. Immoral is not just sexual. Immoral means not moral. Right? Moral is defined in the Ten Commandments, isn't it? If you break a Ten Commandment, you're immoral. You're not moral. And you can brag and go into it as deep as you want, but there's a God, isn't there? And he's not going to let you get away with it because he loves you. And he wants to deliver you from that. So our enemy is the wicked, evil perversion. Not the difference in denomination, not the difference in party affiliation. Not mad because so-and-so was an administrator and he did something I didn't like, so I'll never have anything to do with him again. That's not the enemy. That church, they didn't handle this right, and that preacher, I didn't agree with him. That's not the enemy. The enemy is evil and wickedness that right now we've got laws to protect and judges that will take away the morality in favor of the immorality. Won't they? The enemy is the immorality, and the battle is standing and speaking out against it. At first we say, no, I'm not going to do that. Then no, my kids aren't going to be a part of that. And then no, we're not going to vote that in. And no, we're not going to have that because we're going to pray for our pastor. We're going to pray for our church. We stand up against, and sometimes it can go too far, and sometimes it can get real mean. But just remember, I'm the armor bearer. Jesus is the one, isn't he? I can't go where he won't go with me, and I can't go where he's not. And in a quiet, loving way, we test the waters. We don't go anywhere or talk to anybody that we should think that's going to be mean or take it wrong. It ought to be slowly worked out by God where there can be a very easy conversation. I've talked to a lot of good folks in jail, in the hospital, nursing homes, a lot of places where are they going to go? And how can they tell me there's nothing wrong? Because we're sitting right in it. And there's no escape. But the most greatest work God gives us is to step back and watch how things fall together. I would have never been able to tell you 2 months ago that my life would have been good, but God worked it out. It fell together, didn't it? Some of y'all had trouble and you've told me about it, and you didn't fall apart. Because you knew God was falling it together, putting it together, working it through, wasn't he? And most folks that had things work together will look back and say, I would have never changed a thing. I'm so thankful to God that he showed me that he's going to put things together. There's a fear, though, that people have. They got a fear of not being a part of something. And that's on both sides, isn't it? One's good and one's not good. When I was young and when I was away from the Lord, I was afraid of not to be a part of some evil things. Some bad friendships. So I pushed in and regretted every minute of it. And the Lord saved me, forgave me, called me, blessed me, took care of me. I still have those desires and I always will. But this body doesn't have to go there. My mind does. But I need to leave my body where it's at right now, to where my mind stays and my heart doesn't get ripped apart. You go ahead and go physically, and your heart and your mind will follow you, and you'll never, never, never survive. There's a lot of folks that have a fear of not being a part. There's some folks that think that they'll never be able to be accepted back because of what they've done, only to find out that everybody that's in that church has the same kind of family you do, that would love to have their folks back with them. Those cowards, those deserters, those people that were captured, nobody said a word to them as the battle went. Join in, we need you. Come on, let's go. Let's go. That's the pattern that God gives us. And it's really, really bad for a Christian to know that God's leading and He has a church that will help you, and a group of people that love you, and you let it keep passing by and passing by and passing by. You ask a lot of folks now that were really wild growing up, they need the church right now. And the church necessarily isn't us. The church is those folks out there that are saved. There was about 26 people in my work group from time to time at Nissan. Different ages. Whatever the youngest was to me, I was the old guy for years. Many of them went to church. Some of them didn't. Some of them were deacons. Some of them were Sunday school teachers. Some of them went to a church that had 10, and some of them went to a church that had 2,000. But for the 8 or 10 hours I was there that day, all I knew if they was a Christian or not. They weren't a Christian because they went to the same kind of church I did. Or they weren't my friend because we all had the same sins and we took up for each other. They were Christians because they hated evil and stood up against it and said when something was wrong. It's really that simple, isn't it? And this morning, to pull this together, we have to go away from where we're at. And where we're at, if we stay there, we're going to be defeated, because that's not where we're supposed to be. We have to leave where we're at physically first and let our heart and mind grow together. And there's nobody here this morning that's young. It doesn't matter what you've done, what you've said. It could all come together for you. And it probably will. Every time I think somebody has a bad testimony, I hear another one, it's a lot worse. But all those people I worked with, I was convinced that I knew who was saved and who wasn't. And the more we stood up together, the Christians, the more we was able to influence in a good way. See, you're a Christian, you shouldn't get run over. You shouldn't be told to break the rules. You shouldn't be told to go against company policy. And I was the worst one. I guess I was older and I thought maybe I could lead somebody. But I didn't, because I was a Christian or because I was a preacher, cash those things in at the gate and walk in without any defense. I mean, when they said something, I'd say, hey, they go, anybody got anything? I said, I do. That's not right. We haven't done that before. And it's not because we don't want to do it, because that's not our policy. You know? And it was on and on and on. We need to be a strong Christian out in the world, to be against immorality and wickedness and stand up, speak up, but not tear up. And there's such a fine line, isn't there? It's not a place where we're going to try to protest against It's a place we're going to be at for the rest of our lives. And we need to be worked in. And God will do that for you. You're here today. You keep hearing the noise. It's because God's trying to show you that you're falling apart. You can do what you want, keep doing the way you're doing, sit where you're sitting, and the noise is going to get louder and louder and louder and louder until you do something. Amongst the noise, the Bible tells us that there's a still small voice, isn't there? We know, we learn, we understand. I'm going to pay for this one day. I remember the guys I was around as a teenager. All the stuff we did, we really knew. We're going to pay. We did. But the noise can be stopped. And things can be good. And God can save, can't He? You just need to come to Him. If you need to come to Him and this is your day, we're going to sing in just a minute. You come. I'll help you in any way I can. If you are saved, wherever you're at this morning, you're not falling apart. God wants you to fall together. And there's another piece coming, isn't there? And before long, you'll look back and you'll thank the Lord that He worked all things together for good, didn't He? I ask you to stand this morning and bow your heads and close your eyes.